You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Oh, you don't work on canvas, you're an artist just the same. And your work never comes without a frame.
Find the right boots for your job at your local Red Wing retailer.
A state-run broadcaster in Iran is reporting that the Islamic Republic has sent a Navy destroyer to waters near Yemen amid a Saudi-led airstrike campaign aimed at stopping Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. And now al-Qaeda in Yemen is taking advantage of the instability. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says the U.S. is supporting Saudi Arabia.
We are providing them with intelligence information, surveillance and reconnaissance information to assist them in their operations.
Meanwhile, the United Arab Emirates top diplomat says the Saudi-led coalition cannot rule out any options, including sending in ground troops. Severe weather threatens the nation's midsection.
We have a risk of severe storms today that pretty much covers a swath from southwest Ohio all the way across Missouri to northwest Texas.
That was meteorologist Roger Edwards. There could be large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes. This is USA Headline News.
This is a special broadcast. At 4:10 p.m. today, I died. And yet here I am. Why? I am a messenger of God.
Friday, April 17th.
This is the beginning.
A star fell from heaven. It changed us and gave us a new destiny to stop the devil himself.
Wait, you mean like the devil?
The end will begin.
We're the angels of the apocalypse.
The Messengers, series premiere only on the CW.
Freshman Senator Rand Paul has tossed his hat in the Republican presidential ring. More from USA Headline News' senior correspondent, Jason Wirt.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has announced his intention to run for president, and in doing so, issued a challenge to the Republican Party.
If we nominate a candidate who is simply Democrat light, what's the point? Why bother? We need to boldly proclaim our vision for America. We need to go boldly forth under the banner of liberty that clutches the Constitution in one hand and the Bill of Rights in the other.
Paul also said Washington is so broken it might not be able to be fixed from within, and the American people need to rise up and vote out career politicians. I'm Jason Wirt.
An Illinois Army National Guard soldier and his cousin have pleaded not guilty to charges they plotted terrorist attacks in a conspiracy to provide material support to ISIS. A complaint says that 29-year-old Jonas Edmonds was to attack an Illinois military base after his 22-year-old cousin Hassan Edmonds traveled abroad to join ISIS. Hassan Edmonds allegedly vowed at one point to bring the flames of war to the heart of America. If convicted, they face 15 years in prison. The NFL has hired Sarah Thomas to be its first female full-time game official. She has worked exhibition games and will be a line judge for the 2015 regular season. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
A right. Welcome to Talented People. Good afternoon. It is already about 3:06 in the afternoon on April 8th. Hope you're having a great day. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and I'm going to give you the weather update if you happen to be in the area of central New Jersey and Flemington. Late this afternoon, a chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 45. Tonight, periods of rain or drizzle, mainly before 11 p.m. Then periods of drizzle, low around 36. Thursday, chance of rain mainly before, afternoon, cloudy with a high near 44. And then chance of rain or drizzle, patchy fog after 2 a.m. on Thursday night with cloudy with a low about 41. Chance of showers continuing, and then showers and thunderstorms likely after 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 71 on Friday. Showers and thunderstorms likely again, partly cloudy with a low about 49 on Friday night. Mostly sunny with a high near 61 and breezy on Saturday, and then mostly clear with a low about 37 on Saturday night. Sunny again on Sunday with a high near 64, and then mostly clear with a low about 39 on Sunday night. So our weather forecast looks pretty nice, actually. April showers bring May flowers, but it looks like our weekend's going to be saved. So today, I want to introduce you to our guest. His name is Dan Minoli. And Dan, thanks for joining us. Recently, you mentioned two concepts that were completely alien to me and also likely alien to our listeners. And you mentioned green IT and DCIM. Can you tell us what these are and why they are important? Before we get into the technical stuff, though, let me, however, tell our audience a little bit more about you and your background. Dan is the principal consultant, DVI Communications in New York City. You can visit the website, DVICOMN.com. DVI is a full-service IT, telecom, wireless, cloud, security, infrastructure, audio-visual, and intellectual property consultancy. Since its launch in 1975, right in the heart of Wall Street, DVI has supported hundreds of marquee firms in dozens of industries with the assessment, design, and implementation of their IT telecom, outsourcing, and security needs, including planning, analysis, design, engineering, acquisition, deployment, administration, and system management. Among other activities, Dan has done extensive work over the years in network security and network engineering, design, and implementation. He has worked on advanced network deployments at financial firms such as AIG, Prudential Securities, Capital One Financial, and service provider firms such as Network Analysis Corporation, Bell Telephone Laboratories, ITT, DTS, ITT, WorldCom, Bell Communications Research, now Ericsson, AT&T, Leading Edge Networks, SES, and again, DVI Communications. He has published 60 technical textbooks, including the book that we're talking about a little bit today, Designing Green Networks and Network Operations. He's written columns for Computer World, Network World, and Network Computing from 1985 to 2006. He's taught at New York University, Information Technology Institute, Rutgers University, Stevens Institute of Technology. He's also been engaged as a technical expert in a number of patent infringement proceedings in the digital imaging and VOLIP space supporting law firms. So welcome to our show. I wanted everyone to hear that extensive bio because of the it's so impressive, Dan, and thanks for coming back to the show.
Well, Jeannie, thank you for having me back. Yes, let's keep that short. Otherwise,
I'll keep it short later, but I needed everybody to know a little bit about you.
Our audience will not get to appreciate the kind of important topic that I want to discuss today. As you mentioned, it's basically designing green data centers and green networks with the idea of reducing carbon footprint, and then this evolving discipline called data center infrastructure management, or DCIM. See, in recent years, we've seen kind of the confluence of some what I would call socio-political trends in favor of environmental responsibility, and also the fact that managers, data center managers, as well as corporate managers, have a pressing need to reduce the run the engine cost that goes with the IT side. And this has kind of given birth to a relatively new discipline called green information technologies. For a number of years, probably through the mid of the last decade, say 2005 or something like that, the environmental aspects of data centers and the networks that we use every day and the support systems were kind of being ignored. However, in recent years, both, as I said, the social political trend, the fact we want to be green, more environmentally aware of our activities, as well as the cost implications, have kind of given birth to this new area of green IT and green networks. What drives some of this is that, as an aggregate, data centers use between 1.5% to about 3% of all the energy generated in the U.S., and in fact, that figure carries worldwide. And as a sector, the data center world, that, which means, you know, when we do a Google search, when we go to Facebook and so on, that infrastructure contributes between 2 and 2.5% of this global greenhouse gas emissions. And these figures are predicted to grow over time as we basically get more and more dependent on communication. If people, if companies continue to move along on a business as usual scenario, because there's been an encouragement to move towards this green IT concept, which would then allow companies to save both in terms of energy consumption as well as in terms of green gas emissions. If we look back in the recent years, the data center energy consumption has grown at a aggregate compound annual rate of about 14%, which means that the consumption doubles every 6 years or thereabout.
Wow.
We all hear about big data. That's another term that is being thrown around of late. And this big data keeps expanding. A magazine, Science Daily, had an article back in 2013, and they said that 90% of all the data in the world that we have available was generated in the previous 2 years. Hmm. It's kind of an amazing statistic.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the number of devices, appliances, smartphones, and everything else we connect to the internet just will continue to grow and generate more data. And it all drives to an exponential increase on demand on the servers, on the storage, in the infrastructure. And this all drives more energy consumption. So greening relates to minimizing energy consumption, maximize energy efficiency, because, you know, who wants to be wasting energy, both because of the cost and as well as because of the environmental, you know, responsibility, and also to use renewable energy sources. And also consumables, like, for example, not printing paper when not needed, a We All Green type of thing. That's something that companies are moving more and more in that direction, in the sense that there is a need and a desire to reduce this carbon dioxide gases. So to reduce the carbon footprint and improve the sustainability, one needs new paradigms or new methods or new approaches or new techniques, new perspectives on how to basically run the data center to achieve better efficiencies.
Well, you know what? This is just fascinating. And right now it's already 3:15 on our April 8th here. We're going to go to our first break on Talented People. This is Jeannie Murphy. We have our guest today talking about designing green networks, Stan Minoli. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Rob
Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Okay, welcome back to Talented People. Again, I'm Jeannie Murphy. Our guest today in studio is Dan Minoli, author of more than or so 60 books, and he's talking about green. The book we're talking about is Designing Green Networks and Network Operations. So we were talking before the break, and I have a question for you now to continue. Doesn't IT already reduce the carbon footprint because of what it can do?
Yes, certainly. Networks, especially IP-based networks, that's Internet Protocol-based networks, and the internet have already done quite a lot to contribute to the greening of the environment for the past, you know, two or three decades even. And this is accomplished by replacing goods and services with virtual equivalents.
Hmm.
For example, downloading, you know, music instead of, you know, buying a CD. And also looking forward with the introduction of what is being called the Internet of Things. Namely, it's interconnecting appliances, cars, grid meters for electrical meters and so on, interconnecting them and being able to basically have a remote view of what goes on and being able to set parameters, for example, you know, setting the temperature of your house. If you're going to be there, you might have a timer, yes, but maybe something happened and you're going to be delayed 2 hours, so you're now able to log into your thermostat from the Internet of Things.
It's just incredible. Oh my goodness. And I never thought about this, so I'm so totally intrigued. Go ahead.
And if we consider, and I could go on a long list, or I just kind of hit on a couple. I mean, just think of audio or video teleconferencing, that we don't have to move people and put them on a plane. Telecommuting, a lot of people can work from home. Email, for example, even that, just figuring how much, you know, gasoline and trucks and pollution, you know, it's reduced by using email instead of using, you know, regular mail. Then I could just go down the list. I mean, distance learning, e-commerce, online booking of travels, people do internet-based home businesses, the distribution of music, as I mentioned a moment ago, instead of having a CD burned, video entertainment, especially streaming and what is called over-the-top, contrasted with the old days when you had to go and basically, you know, rent a DVD or a videotape even, and then returning it. Then there is the whole cloud computing and virtualization, which reduces space and power because you are getting the economies of scale, putting all this stuff together in the cloud. Remote sensing, I just mentioned, electronic libraries, and I could just go on and on forever. So many of these activities, which are known as dematerialization, actually have already made a mark onto the greening. In fact, as a combined field, the information and communication technologies contribute as much as 7% of the global GDP. So they actually support quite a bit of the economic output without having to necessarily generate, you know, byproducts. And also they assist other sectors. For example, if you look at there is a new area called smart motors, smart logistics, smart buildings, and then smart grids. So they can all work together to reduce the emissions of these other related industries. So not only do they help reduce the consumption of energy and production of greenhouse gases within its own industry, but also it can help collateral industries. However, and here's a big however, the IT infrastructure needed to support these advances is significant and does consume a lot of power. I mentioned before in the range of 2.5%. Therefore, improving data center operations has become important. So people are looking at ways of increasing efficiencies, reducing costs, keeping high availability, and this data center infrastructure management field that is emerging, it actually enables managers to take the concept of green and translate it into a real set of disciplines or activities or strategies that can provide insights into reduce power, reduce space, and therefore reduce cooling that you also need.
It's incredible. So can you define green IT, like green networks and green operations for us?
Yes. Well, we mentioned already green refers to minimizing energy consumption, maximizing the efficiency and using renewable resources whenever possible, and also using eco-friendly components. And this applies not only to service providers that run these large data centers. Sometimes there are acres and acres of computers in some of these large data centers that I've been in many of them, but also it applies to the user community, whether it be a large firm that has a large data center, such as a bank or a pharmaceutical, mm-hmm. or even people that have a smaller operation will find that there are ways of saving energy. Then there is a concept of green buildings. That means designing intelligent buildings, for example, that has a better heating or cooling environment, and also improving the health and productivity of the people using the right lighting and so forth. Sustainable design is another concept. You want to be able to basically undertake operations without having to basically burn up resources that cannot be replaced. Energy efficiency, it's kind of a technical concept of getting the same job done with less energy. So that's something that is really fundamental, because at the end of the day, why simply waste something if you can get the same job done with less input resources? That's kind of not a new concept. I mean, almost the entire industrial revolution is based on the same concept. If you can build the same car, instead of using metal, you're going to use maybe some plastic component, the car will weigh less, therefore you need less energy to move it, and so on. So the entire concept of energy efficiency is something well understood, and it also applies to the data center. Another concept here is the renewable energy. Will be wind power, hydroelectric power, biomass, and so on. Carbon footprint, we already mentioned, that's actually a calculation that computes the amount of gases that get produced by certain function. Hmm. And when we talk about building a green IT or a green network, what really implies is basically to deploy either routers or voice and data switches or firewalls or fiber optic systems, multiplexers, repeaters, you can name, you know, video encoders and so on, Wi-Fi transmitters, WiMAX transmitters, cellular systems and so on, all of these components to be deployed or potentially replaced with the comparable components that would use up less energy. I know personally of some cases we replace video encoders of a previous generation that actually end up using half the physical space in a rack and actually being a quarter of the power consumption. Naturally, you have an embedded base, so you can't just go in and repair a piece of equipment that works because there is a cost of technology replacement. However, people can do rate of return calculations and determine that indeed they can replace this equipment, the equipment, and then get some actual payback. That applies to servers, storage systems we just mentioned, chillers, computer room air conditioners, which are also known as CRAC, C-R-A-C, and lighting. And also an important new area, this is really relatively brand new, it's probably a couple, 2 or 3 years old, it's called network function virtualization, which means that the carriers are going to replace special purpose electronics with off-the-shelf servers that can be then downloaded with appropriate software to make them do different functions. And instead of having to basically dedicate equipment to a function and then maybe in the meantime sits idle and cannot be used for different function, the idea of network function virtualization is to basically make these building blocks reusable in real time. And if you need, say, 5 firewalls at a certain point instead of 3, you can simply download some more software on an available server that is already out there and maybe take the server out of doing another function that you don't need at that particular moment.
But is there something new then?
Well, as I mentioned, the fact that energy efficiency is something that people have done over the years is something that's been around. But in the IT data center as well as networks, mm-hmm. it's relatively new in that environment. Mm. And a lot of it has been happening, as I mentioned before, since the middle of the last decade, since the late 2008 and into this decade. But the desire is to accelerate these initiatives even further.
Okay, so we're going to get our break right now, Dan, because it's so interesting. And I sit here listening to you talking about this and the intensity of everything that you do and how much detail and how much information you have got to have in order to provide these services and to make the green networks and operations. It's so important. So we're going to get our break right now. This is Talented People. Dan Minoli is my guest in studio. I'm Jeannie Murphy with Talented People. We'll be right back. It's 3:28. On April 8th. Hope you're having a great day and enjoying our conversation.
USA Headline News, I'm Kelly Sloan. The jury has reached a guilty verdict in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Zhohar Tsarnaev was charged on 30 counts and they are still being read. More details as they become available. A press conference in North Charleston, South Carolina became heated as the mayor talked about the fatal shooting of a black man by a white police officer. Those were protesters shouting the name of the city's police chief. Over the weekend, 50-year-old Walter Scott Jr. was shot 8 times after fleeing a routine traffic stop. A witness videotaped the incident, and Mayor Keith Summey says an independent group is conducting the investigation.
We did what was right. We turned the investigation over to an independent agency that does not work for the mayor and does not work for the chief.
The officer, Michael Slager, has been taken into custody. The FBI and Justice Department are also conducting an investigation. This is USA Headline News.
Musicians, starting tomorrow through April 19th at Guitar Center, over 50,000 guitars will be marked down under $100. In-store and online, choose from a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars. Get incredible savings from brands like Fender, Squire, Epiphone, Ibanez, ESP, Washburn, Schecter, and more. Over 50,000 guitars under $100. With the greatest selection and our low price guarantee, any player can find the guitar of their dreams. Hurry, it absolutely ends April 19th. Don't miss your chance to save at Guitar Center.
You think they're safe. You killed the fire ant mound at the beginning of the season. But guess what? Under the ground, armies of fire ants are hard at work, building the mounds of the future, getting ready to spread their evil. That's why it's critical that you protect your family with Ortho's two-step solution. Step one, use Ortho Orthene Fire Ant Killer to kill...
Okay, welcome back to the show again, Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Our author and expert, Dan Minoli, is in studio talking about designing green networks and network operations. That is actually the title of the book, if you want to go ahead and look on Amazon for it. But I want to ask you, because we're continuing our conversation, learning so much, how exactly is power utilized in a data center, Dan?
Well, there are two categories of usage. And it's called the system load, which refers to the consumption of the actual equipment itself, whether it be the servers, the storage units, the network elements, the switches, the routers, the firewalls, and on and on. And then you have the facilities load. So that relates to the mechanical and electrical systems that support the IT and the networking equipment. So that would entail the cooling, the fans, the air pumps, the air conditioning, the UPSs, and so on. So those are typically exactly the two areas that people look at to optimize. And you can optimize, obviously, each one independently because they're two different sets of systems.
And how do costs stack up?
Well, that's a good question, exactly, because the servers or racks, to be more exact, in these state-of-the-art data centers have moved away from the old systems. So you actually have standalone computers sitting there in the racks. But now we've gone to blade servers, which means it literally like a computer card that you might have seen it before. So you go to a rack, and there may be a rack is typically, maybe 7 feet high, and you would have chassis. Each chassis, let's say, maybe it's a half a foot in size, and then within each of those chassis, there'll be multiple blades, and each one of those blades is a server. So you could have 8 blades or 16 blades in each of those chassis, and when it's all said and done, these racks now can use as much as 15 to 20 kilowatts of power for each rack. So imagine a data center that has thousands of these racks, how quickly that adds up. In fact, it has been estimated that a data center that might have a 1 megawatt demand, again, if it's 20 kilowatt, it's a rack, well, you can quickly get to 1 megawatt. It's been estimated that that will use up $20 million worth of electricity over this data center lifetime. And there were some calculations done by IDC even a while back that even back in 2005, they were already using up $26 billion worth of power to cool servers. An interesting factoid here is that a large portion of the power is actually wasted, especially when people have maybe older type servers that are not highly efficiently utilized, and maybe they have a server dedicated to a function, maybe payroll, then they have maybe an HR function and so on. And these servers are likely utilized and therefore end up being inefficient. Even just simply looking at a typical desktop PC, it wastes about half of its power as heat. So if you're thinking of a device with 120 watts rating, we get a little bit technical here, but you could do the calculation, or you keep it up 16 hours a day, potentially a typical office, 365 days a year. That's 700 kilowatt hours per year, and that's about $100 worth of consumption. So if you have 1,000 PCs in a typical mid-sized company, that it's $100,000 a year. And if you had a 10,000 PCs, like we mentioned before, one of the companies that you mentioned, a financial company, had 10,000 PCs, that would waste $1 million a year worth of waste, because we said that half the energy, the computer even sitting there idle, is still using up electricity. So recent studies have shown that, in fact, by applying this green IT concepts, people can save up to 45% of their cost in energy. So that's significant. Now, not everybody can achieve the number. It depends how far they are in the life cycle of actually upgrading their equipment and so on. But theoretically, you could get quite a considerable payback in doing a refresh of the technology and going green.
Wow. Well, you know, normally I would say that you're right when you're saying it's a little technical, but because all of us out here have an electric bill and we can see the kilowatts and the usage and so on, what you're explaining, to save 45% and go green, makes so much sense. And I just want to know, are there laws then?
Well, there have been a lot of government initiatives, both in the U.S. and abroad in Europe, to indeed encourage companies to reduce consumption and emissions. For example, the European Union had announced a 20% reduction target by the year 2020 compared to the 1990. Germany was looking for a 40% cut below the 1990 level by 2020. And again, Norway and some of those other companies, or countries, I should say, have similar targets. Also in the U.S., the EPA had put out some initiatives, some recommendations in 2007, encouraging companies to change their model from their business as usual or just throw in some new servers in the racks and basically rethink how they do their expansion in such a way that they can indeed save to the bottom line. And not only, as we started the conversation before, not only is it environmentally sound and a kind of a social responsibility, but it actually impacts the bottom line. So it's kind of a dual, you know, kill two birds with one stone, so to speak.
So how does a company go about implementing this? Sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Well, again, the goal is to reduce energy consumption and heat that is potentially wasted by possibly upgrading the equipment, and in particular, the concept of virtualization, which means instead of having dedicated servers, each for each different function, that they'll be placed in a pool of assets, which can then be used on demand. And there is a lot of that trend out there on actual implementation, not to recommend any one company, but for example, VMware is one company, VMware, that has software that enables users, in fact, to achieve this virtualization. Then another item would be to use renewable materials and go, you know, maybe buy products from people that are more conscious in terms of, you know, what the usage of resources are. And then also conform to these government regulations and recommendations. Some of them are recommendations, but maybe some of them are more mandated, and there may be a regulatory requirement to do some of this stuff. So improved operation is one goal, best practices, and then the state-of-the-art operation. So people may want to, again, consider, is there a better way of doing something? Potentially, as an example, state-of-the-art operation, what does that mean? Well, for example, if you were a Verizon, as an example, to mention a company, you might want to originally send out a paper bill. Then you may say, wait a minute, maybe we can encourage subscribers to accept an online bill instead of sending a bill in the mail. But that would entail a change in company procedures or operations. So companies not only should look at purchasing more modern and more efficient equipment, but also in terms of maybe rethinking the way to do business.
Well, would that then lead us over, like, can you elaborate on some specific strategies that the listeners could follow, assuming that they have a manage, that they can manage a data center?
Well, in fact, the Energy Star people put out, they have some nice documents and brochures and things. They had listed 12 ways. I'll just read them. And in fact, I don't have the URL right here, but if you go to Energy Star, and you can pull it down. But for example, server virtualization is the first one that I mentioned, and it's a big thing because it actually saves quite a bit. Decommissioning of unused servers, consolidation of likely used servers, better management of data storage. For example, people that store emails and there may be attachments. Well, do you need to have all the attachments included, or you can maybe archive them on a static media? Purchasing a more efficient UPS and power distribution units. Then there is making sure that the data center is designed properly with this hot aisle, cold aisle layout. In other words, you don't want to blow hot air onto another server, so you have to have alternate rows of hot and cold air layout. So people who do this for a living know exactly what that means. Then there's also something called containment enclosures. Instead of having to cool the entire data center, people are now building smaller enclosures, maybe, you know, 15 feet by 15 feet, and they can put racks in there. So you actually only have to cool that smaller environment. There'll be multiple of those, but basically you don't have to cool the entire data center, but only those areas where the servers are. Then it's called variable speed fan drives. Instead of the fan going all the time, all the at a maximum speed, that you actually modulate the speed of the fan depending on the need. Airflow has to be designed properly. Sometimes what happens is, for example, underneath the data center tiles, which in data centers often you have a floor with cables underneath the tiles, sometimes the cables block the airflow, so your air cannot get there to cool off the servers. So just maybe redesigning this cable and putting them better in cable trays and so on can open up the it's like all of us having a filter on our house at home. If you clean up the filter, the air will flow better and right. you get better results there. And also there are going to be certain things about HVACs. So I would encourage our listeners to actually go to the Energy Star. And there is for each of those items that I mentioned, there is a nice description. I'll just read one off their website that I had printed previously, so I don't have it here. But it says, for example, to give an example, by consolidating multiple independent servers to a single physical servers, those servers can operate more efficiently and reduce energy cost by 10 to 40%. So that's kind of what I mentioned before about potentially saving costs about 20%, up to 40%. I mentioned 45, but so there is a recognition that we can be as high as in the 40s in terms of what we can achieve. And then the other one was, for example, decommission your comatose servers. It says 15 to 30% of the equipment running in your data center consume electricity without doing any computing. Sometimes people, I know that as an example, you know, they move an application to a better server and then they never decommission the existing server. So those are some of the tips that I would encourage our listeners, if they have a large data center, to in fact go and check out.
Absolutely. It's incredible. So I just wanted to ask you a question now. Do you want to talk about the DCIM? And what is it?
Well, first of all, let me quickly mention the big picture. Folks, people who are in the area of making sure that these data centers can support the evolving requirements that we mentioned before, make the statement that it's kind of a new day, because there are new services coming in. You know, there are new kind of computing models. There are new ways of delivering rich data. As an example, if you look at Twitter, and then people may do data mining against what people are tweeting. So that's an example of a new service. But that doesn't come for free. You have to do searching. You have to go through the data. It all adds up. So there is kind of an evolution of what the data center is to begin with. So that's got to be kept in mind. The houses are becoming smarter, mentioned before. There is a lot more connectivity. So data centers have to accommodate for that growth. By 2014, by the way, the number of mobile connected devices is the same as the number of people on the Earth. And by 2018, the forecast will be 1.5 mobile devices per capita. So all these devices are generating data, and they're all the data has to be collected. So observers noted the data center today is really different, a lot different than it was just 10 years ago. And here's where this data center infrastructure management discipline comes in. It means slightly different things to different people, but it's a new term that describes an emerging class of infrastructure solutions. For example, Gartner, they publish a lot of people probably are familiar with the Gartner reports. They define DISM, or data center information infrastructure management, as a discipline that encompasses tools that monitor, measure, manage, and control the data center resources, including the energy consumption. What it really means is to provide the data center manager with a view into what's going on in the data center, not simply a static view that you put some equipment in racks and that's it, and maybe you just monitor the temperature to make sure that the room is not overheated, but really to have a more granular view to what's going on in the center. So you enable continuous optimization of data center power, cooling, and space. It allows managers to achieve greater efficiency. And then you could also simulate what-if scenarios. What about if I were to put in more of these servers, or if I were to consolidate, for example, storage? So these are the kind of what's covered under these tools of DISM.
Well, right now we're going to go to a quick break, Dan. It's just such an important conversation, and we're talking about designing green networks and network operations. Dan Minoli, the author and expert here. This is Talented People. It's Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:46 on April 8th. We're going to go to our quick break, and then we'll be back for the end of the show. Stay with us.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hi, I'm Glenda Webb, a professionally trained voiceover artist. With my warm, soothing, authoritative vocal style, I will capture the attention of and captivate your potential clients while clearly articulating your message. So whether you simply want a more professional sound to your voicemail, commercials to sell your products, medical or technical productions for presentation or training purposes, or anything in between. Remember, Glenda Webb, voiceover artist, is the voice to get you heard. You may contact me at 908-899-1157 or at gcwvoices@gmail.com. Glenda Webb, voiceover artist, is the voice to get you heard.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Welcome back to the show. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Author Dan Minoli is in studio today talking about designing green networks and green and network operations. So, Dan, what do these tools do and who are some of the providers?
The DCIM or data center infrastructure management tools that I mentioned a moment ago, they assist planners and managers to monitor, measure, and control the data center utilization of these energy elements, whether it be the system load or the cooling and so forth. Some of the players, and I'm not recommending anybody, but if you were to Google them and you look at the Gartner Leader Quadrant, you could see the Schneider Electric, Emerson Network Power, CA Technologies are some of the leading providers today, but tomorrow there could be a different group, you know, because it's an evolving field. And these tools enable the decision makers to localize, visualize, and manage the physical assets in having one complete view of the entire infrastructure. And this is important, especially if companies have multiple data centers, they may have a disaster recovery site, or they may have data centers in many places. Usually some of the larger companies have dozens of data centers, really. So the tools allow these decision makers to automate the commissioning and then the decommissioning of equipment so that there could be a reduction of consumption and also a reduction of errors in deploying equipment. We mentioned before the automation of the what-if scenarios, all of which is to basically drive down energy costs and carbon footprint. Again, the data center is possibly always expanding, so there will actually not be necessarily a physical reduction of the total expenditure, but you can keep the cost level and then increase the number of servers with the same level of energy consumption. Hmm. And as I mentioned before, some people are moving data centers to cooler climates so that they can actually use the renewable resource such as hydroelectric, as well as using some local air cooling mechanisms. For example, Google had opened up some data centers in the Pacific Northwest, like in Oregon, Utah, and they're opening up some other people open up a data center in the Nordic regions, even in Iceland. So that would be one way to try to reduce costs. But if you want to keep your data center in the greater New York area, then you should really apply some disciplines that allow, in fact, company to manage their energy consumption.
That is so incredible. It was smart. That is so smart. So to be honest, I've never heard about DCIM before today.
Well, actually, there is a lot of industry buzz in the area because it has a bottom line implications. In fact, there are conferences dedicated to this topic. There was one in Atlanta just recently, AFCOM Atlanta was March 25th. There is one April 8th, the 7th Mid-Atlantic Energy Technology Forum out of Philadelphia. We're not recommending any of these, but just to make the point that actually conferences, it's a data center world global conference in Las Vegas for people who want to actually double up on a technical education, as well as maybe partaking of the local opportunities. And there is, I just received a call for papers from the IEEE, call for papers, Green Computing, Networking and Communication Symposium to be held in Hawaii in February 15 to 18, 2016. So that would be nice to go and actually make the presentation such as this in Hawaii in February, mind you.
Yes, oh my goodness, absolutely. So now, Dan, you are with DVI Communications, and what can your firm offer in this space?
Well, DVI Communications certainly can help clients with data center infrastructure management processes. We can help firms take a strategic control of their data center, reduce the run the engine cost that we mentioned before, improve IT agility, to respond to the new service we mentioned before, because there is an avalanche, as we mentioned, 90% of all the data generated has been generated of late. So again, there's going to be an exponential continued growth in the space. And I just want to mention, for example, that Cisco publishes a status of the industry, I think every year, and they forecast out what the consumption of technology is going to be 5 years out. And they're constantly kind of quote exponential growth. So as companies, even in the greater New York area, deal with this expansion of both data as well as new services, certainly the data center infrastructure management tools that we at DVI can assist deployment, certainly that will be advantageous to the end users. Also, we can assist to meet regulatory directives. And in fact, in New York State, there is a specific directive that has been published, that they want to actually reduce consumption by a fixed amount. I believe it to be 20%, but it could be slightly different. I don't have it in my fingertips. But there is an agency called NYSERDA in New York, in the state of New York, and I think there's something comparable in New Jersey. It's called the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA. They basically provide incentives. They provide government incentives, so they're actually fund some of these conversions. So they, and we at DVI can intermediate, and we can help the customers get these grants from NYSERDA. Basically, in New York State, but it's something equivalent to Jersey, NYSERDA will actually provide incentives for airflow management, cooling, the use of waste heat, UPS upgrades, and also next generation servers, server load prioritization and virtualization, both of the servers and the storage. So we are happy to be available and assist companies move along this direction, and in fact improve their bottom line when it comes to the energy consumption and the bill that we normally would be getting every month.
Absolutely incredible. Well, we're already at the end of the show here, Dan. Thank you so much for being here. This is Talented People. It's already 3:56. We ended up right on time. Just to explain one more detail, Dan is going to be one of our expert speakers at the College of New Jersey event on cybersecurity coming up very quickly around the corner, Monday, April 20th. Sponsored by the Small Business Development Center at the College of New Jersey. Breakfast and lunch are included. It is a free event for small business owners and those who are interested in learning more about how cybersecurity can be impactful and the risks to small business owners. You have to register, even though it is free. So you can register online at cybersecuritynj.com. And Dan, thank you so much for spending time today talking about designing green networks and network operations. I don't think anybody out in my listening area of Talented People had any idea of the thought and how important green networks are and how much is going on behind the scenes that people don't know about unless they have someone like you on Talented People to tell us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to speak on this topic.
It's an interesting topic and so important. So thank you guys all out there for listening to the first hour of Talented People. We are going to go to our break at the 4 to 5 o'clock hour. Big C from Good Morning Hunterdon on Hunterdon Chamber Radio is going to be talking to me about his 1,000th radio show that he's just coming up on. So we're going to have a really good time. Stand by. Thank you again, Dan, for being here. And we look forward to having you guys sign up at the cybersecuritynj.com website for the event on April 20th. You can learn all about it at the site. And we're going to go to our break. We'll be right back.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News, I'm Kelly Sloan. The jury has reached a guilty verdict in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Zhohar Tsarnaev was charged on 30 counts, and they are still being read. More details as they become available. A press conference in North Charleston, South Carolina became heated as the mayor talked about the fatal shooting of a black man by a white police officer. Those were protesters shouting the name of the city's police chief. Over the weekend, 50-year-old Walter Scott Jr. was shot 8 times after fleeing a routine traffic stop. A witness videotaped the incident, and Mayor Keith Summey says an independent group is conducting the investigation.
We did what was right. We turned the investigation over to an independent agency that does not work for the mayor, and does not work for the chief.
The officer, Michael Slager, has been taken into custody. The FBI and Justice Department are also conducting an investigation. This is USA Headline News.
This is a special broadcast. At 4:10 p.m. today, I died. And yet here I am. Why? I am a messenger of God.
Friday, April 17th.
This is the beginning.
A star fell from heaven. It changed us and gave us a new destiny to stop the devil himself.
Wait, you mean like the devil?
The end will begin.
We're the angels of the apocalypse.
The Messengers, series premiere only on the CW.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Severe weather threatens the nation's midsection today and tomorrow. Parts of Indiana and Missouri have experienced thunderstorms, and large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes also threaten Oklahoma, Illinois, and Kansas.
It's April, it's springtime, and so we tend to get severe weather events of varying strength. So this is actually fairly common for spring. We've actually had an unusually dead year so far.
That was meteorologist Roger Edwards.
Iran is reporting that they have sent a Navy destroyer to waters near Yemen amid a Saudi-led airstrike campaign aimed at stopping Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. And now al-Qaeda in Yemen is taking advantage of the instability.
You see them making great gains on the ground.
That was Defense Secretary Ash Carter, who says the U.S. is supporting Saudi Arabia. Meanwhile, the UAE says that sending in ground troops cannot be ruled out. U.S. stocks are moving slightly higher in midday trading as traders look over the latest corporate deals and wait for news from the Federal Reserve. This is USA Headline News.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?